Tonight, as a meditation, we're going to go through the stations of the cross. This is also referred to as the way of the cross, or in Latin, it's called Via Dolorosa. It refers to the description of Jesus' final hours. It's either usually a series of pictures or tableaus representing certain scenes in the Passion of Christ. The purpose of the Stations of the Cross is to help guide people through a spiritual pilgrimage of prayer, through looking upon the scenes of Christ's suffering and death. The process is you observe or you pass from one station to another, praying at each one along the way. These stations come from ancient tradition. Since the majority of Christians were not able to go to Jerusalem to pray in the actual location where Jesus was crucified, the way of the cross then enabled people to kind of go on a little mini pilgrimage where they could focus on those key events of Jesus' last day. What I have done is I've gone through scripture passages and I've chosen 13 stations. There are more that could be added, but these are the most common. I've chosen pictures from a variety of sources, and then with each slide, I will read the corresponding scripture passage, and then there'll be a slide with a prayer that we can all say together. My hope is that as we begin this season of Lent, that this will set the tone, that it will be a reminder of Jesus' sacrifice that Christ came to give on your behalf. Rob. And he came out and proceeded as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Read with me. Lord, you know our struggles. Thank you for praying with us and for us in our hour of testing. God of life and death, teach us to hold out for a deeper life, for the prayerful consciousness that enables us transcends our petty needs, so that we may be free to rest in communion with you. While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" Then those who were around him saw what was going to happen. They said, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Stop, no more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come against him, "Have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me. But this hour and the power of darkness are yours." Having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. Lord, I confess to you, I have sinned against you and against others in ways obvious to me and in a way of which I am unaware. Wash me, Lord, and I will be clean. Blot out my offenses and plant in me the seeds of a new and right spirit. Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. But Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and entered in and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. Let's try again. You have called us to keep telling the story of your salvation in the unjust and violent world we have made. Help us to see past the limits of our vision to your limitless love, which transcends death. In the prophecies, gospel stories, and apostolic witness of our scriptures, may we always find consolation and hope, never faltering in our certainty that you are the God of a kingdom of justice and the author of life. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, another saw him and said, "You were one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly, this man was also with him, for he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Forgive my denials, O Lord. Instill within me that faith which trusts in you whenever I am tempted to deny you in word or deed. May my whole life honor you." Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. And they began to come up to him and say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and to give him slaps on the face. Lord, thank you for walking the path of suffering and shame for my sake. Help me to honor you as King, so that my words and deeds your glory. Pilate summoned the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who incites the people to rebellion. And behold, having examined him before you, I have found no guilt in this man regarding the charges which you make against him. Nor has Herod, for he sent him back to us. And behold, nothing deserving death has been done by him. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." Now he was obliged to release to them at the feast one prisoner. But they cried out all together, saying, "Away with this man and release for us Barabbas." He was one who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection made in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again. But they kept on calling out, saying, "Crucify, crucify him." And he said to them the third time, "Why? What evil has this man done? I have found in him no guilt demanding death. Therefore, I will punish him and release him." But they were insistent, with loud voices asking that he be crucified. And their voices began to prevail. And Pilate announced sentence that their demand be granted. And he released the man they were asking for, who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Lord, forgive me when I turn and reject you. How tempting it is to wander away from you, wanting autonomy, eager to find my own way. how patient you are, searching for me, rescuing me. Bring me home to you. I thank you with my whole heart. They took Jesus, therefore, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Dear Lord, you chose the shame of the cross so that I might know the depth of your love for me. In my darkest moments, help me to see the light of your love that shines from your cross. When they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, coming in from the country, and placed on him the cross to carry behind Jesus. Teach me to come forward whenever someone is crushed under the burden of life. Let me be a source of light for those who are burdened by a senseless, dark life. When they came to the place called the skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. Even abandonment you suffered, Lord Jesus Christ. To be fully human, you took the sins and pains of life and added them to your physical torture. You went beyond what any human would ask of God. Being God and human, you were more and suffered more and gave more, all for our sake. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. Even while suffering, you remained your mother and made arrangements for her. Teach us to pay such close attention to others, even when our own pain might easily distract us. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, because the sun was obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. Lord, thank you for living and dying for me. Thank you that you have taken my sin and brokenness upon yourself and given me life. Then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you also may believe. For these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture, "Not a bone of him shall be broken." And again another scripture says, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." We praise and thank you, Lord, for the gift of yourself on the cross, for dying on the cross for me. As we contemplate your suffering, may we come in repentance and thankfulness. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me enough to die. And a man named Joseph, who was a member of the council, a good and righteous man, he had not consented to their plan and action, a man from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who was waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut into the rock where no one ever had lain. It was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who had come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how the body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes, and on the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandment. Lord, at last your pain is over. But even in the darkness of your tomb, we feel you present with us in our deepest darkness, whispering to us, it is not over. Lord, give us hope beyond our despair, life beyond our many deaths. Thank you for going before us in life and in death.